Hello and welcome to the My Interest This Week podcast. I'm recording this for the week ended November 7th, 2020. This week, my interest was, for one, on progress on that little game that I've been developing. For another, it's about getting Diablo 2 to run on my dinky old laptop. And for another, for something related to Diablo, it's this video, this post-mortem from the creator of Diablo himself, or from the Diablo series himself. So anyway, let's first dive into my progress in my little game. So I have been, my game, if you didn't know, it's called Block Wars. It's this nice little local multiplayer game where you play some kind of celebrity who has to not only beat the other contestants, but also wow the crowd. So what I've been currently doing was trying to just refactor some code, make some animations a little bit better. One of the things I've been doing is trying to make it so that, trying to make the weapons drop in replaceable. So what that means is I'll set up the weapons in the Godot engine, I'll set up the scenes for them, and all I need to do is just put them in the scenes of the characters, and I don't really have to mess with the weapon scene itself. I have to set up some hooks into it, so to speak, but still, it won't be that difficult if I need to take out a weapon or if I need to tinker with it. So that's pretty nice. It's great to have that because sometimes I may just want to make up, I may want to prototype some weapon and then drop it in for a character and see if that really works well. Or if that weapon has any problems with it, it stays in that scene. It doesn't affect other parts of the character scene, you know, making it easier to debug that. So I'm trying to streamline that. Another thing that I found with the animation was that it was giving me a huge error. Well, not a huge error, but it was a really annoying error. It was just in the aiming mechanic for the characters. So the animation would, you know, it would move the camera, it would zoom in to the character, and the character would start their aim, but for some odd reason, it would keep trying to play a certain animation. It took me a while to going through the animation player scene, going through that node, going through which buttons, you know, which buttons were when you go into the animation, which one was messing it up. That took me a couple of hours. So after a couple of hours and I had to restore a couple of files from backup, but anyway, after going through all of that, I think I finally fixed that bug, at least for right now. So now that I've fixed those things, I've made them a little bit more modular, and I've fixed up some of the animations, now I gotta turn my attention more to the, I have to go to the arenas. Now I gotta really figure out how to make those work. I've been prototyping that stuff for months, going through various base stages, figuring out, you know, what would be a good setup for a stage, and it's pretty difficult to do that, but I think I'll talk about that maybe next time, or when I'm really working on the arena code. So let me get on to now the part about running Diablo 2 on my laptop. So here's a bit of history. I got my laptop about 5 or 6 years ago from Fry's, and at the time I just needed a simple small laptop which I could use, run on, type stuff out, whatever, on the go. And so I found it at a Fry's, and then I also noticed that you could get it online much cheaper through Amazon. Now, I didn't want to wait that long for Amazon to ship it, and so I asked them, hey, could you do price matching? And they did. So 30 minutes later, you know, I had my laptop. It's low-end. It only has 2 cores. I've upgraded the RAM to the maximum of 8 gigs. It has an SSD on it, so it runs pretty fine. But running Diablo 2 on it, that was a bit of a challenge. Now, the inspiration for this came from when I was watching this guy named Bob. I sometimes watch this pro streamer, or professional streamer, I guess, named Bob Myskins, and one of his chat room viewers, this guy commented, "Hey, I can't get Diablo 2 running in my laptop. I don't know what to do about this." Now, I didn't say much else about that. In fact, I didn't say anything to the guy, but then it got me thinking, hey, wait a minute. I have an old copy of Diablo 2 that's on my dresser here. Why don't I just try that out? So at first I tried installing it on my computer. Now, some of you who may not know, I only run Linux. I mean, seriously, I only have one install of Windows. I think it's on my laptop, but that's not what I used. What I did was that I still have the disk, and so I popped that in and used this one program called Lutris to install it. This is a nice little piece of kit. It's written by a guy named Mathieu Commandon. I think his nickname's Strider. But anyway, I used this to install it, and for the most part, it installed. It went through the install process, the install disk, it checked some stuff, and, you know, it told me, oh, this is okay. So then I tried to run it, and it instead locked up my bot. Well, it didn't lock up my desktop. It's more of I had to log out and then log back in. Apparently, it just gave my screen, turned my display to 640 by 480, and then it just left it like that. So what happens is that Lutris, it runs a special configuration for Wine with, you know, Wine stands for Wine's not an emulator. That's been completely boosted by Proton and all that nice stuff. It was able to successfully install and run some stuff on my computer, but when I actually tried to run the darn game, it didn't work at all. So I was thinking, oh, geez, what the heck? I don't want this to constantly lock up my box. So what I did was that I went on this Discord where Strider, he frequents, and I asked, hey, you know, what are these errors? I had run it in Lutris, and I checked the errors, and the guy, you know, being a stereotypical Frenchman, he said, oh, no, those are not errors. It's just something regular or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, Lutris boy, then what the fuck is this? Luckily, there was this other guy. I think his username is Darkwing or something like that. He said, oh, here, let me help you with that. He tried it on his machine, and surprisingly enough, same thing happened to him. He said, oh, crap, this thing went black. I had to do a hard reset. Man, what's going on? So eventually what I had to do, he suggested, okay, run it in window mode. Window in Windows. Anyway, run it in windowed mode so that at least it doesn't lock something up there. So I tried that, and it didn't completely error out. It still had the blank screen, but at least I was making progress with this. Next, the guy, he says, okay, here, how about this? Try installing this patch. And I'm thinking, what patch are you talking about? He says, oh, this patch that Blizzard, you know, that they released years later. I think it was in 2016. So I got the patch from Blizzard's website. It's version 1.14 of Diablo 2. I installed it in via Lutris, and then lo and behold, it actually worked. It actually made the game run. Yeah, so what I had done after I had installed the patch, I popped in the disk, I let it run from the Wine prefix, and then the Diablo 2 start menu popped up, and it sounded really freaking loud, nearly popped out my ears, whatever, but it finally ran. So I figured, okay, great, now I have some way of running this. By the way, if any of you are wondering how to exactly run this under Lutris, or maybe you've run into some problems, I'll have directions for running this game in the show notes. So anyway, I finally go back to my original plan of installing this in my laptop, and then I hit another snag. My laptop doesn't have a CD-ROM nor DVD-ROM drive. So I'm thinking, okay, what'll I do about this? Well, these are just regular old CD-ROM titles. So I'll just instead copy the CDs, put them on a thumb drive, and then put them onto my computer. So that's what I did. After a few minutes, I copied the CDs themselves, copied the disk images, copied them over to my laptop, and then I had to figure out, I mounted the ISOs, and then I did the regular, what I had done before. I had installed all the necessary programs. You know, I installed Lutris, I installed a version of Wine, I installed Diablo, I then installed, you know, the 1.14 the 1.14 patch, and finally I made it run from within the Wine prefix in Lutris, and finally I was able to get the darn game to run. I mean, it's actually surprising. I was able to go into the game. I mean, I can't play it online, but then again, I don't really give a rat's ass. Anyway, I went into the game, I started it up, you know, I typed in my username, chose a character, chose the barbarian, and then for about 45 minutes, I was, you know, running around, just bashing demons, killing, barbed, I can't remember what they were called, quill rats or something like that. You know, I was out killing stuff and everything just worked. So I'm thinking, wow, it's great. I mean, even though I have this, you know, 5-year-old laptop and it has Windows installed on it, but it's just running Linux and all that stuff. So everything works on this. So that's really great. Well, actually I haven't tried online, but then again, I'm not going to try that because I don't want to be nuked from orbit by Blizzard. But still, hey, it's great that it's actually working. And as a bonus, you know, if I just wanted to plop down and play this thing, I can. So that has a nice ring to it. It has a nice history, which brings me to the next part of this, the video about the development of Diablo. I had found this on YouTube. By the way, I'll link this in the show notes. It's a GDC postmortem video. So it's a postmortem of the creator of Diablo, David Brevik, talking about how he created Diablo. It's kind of interesting because of how he was raised in California and where the name Diablo came from. It came from this mountain called Mount Diablo, and I just, for the longest time, I thought I knew it. I knew it was named Mount Diablo. Well, a little backstory. I lived in California for a very long time, for about 10 years, and I lived, I'm trying to remember how far I was. I lived about 30 minutes to an hour from Mount Diablo. In fact, I went up and walked on it and hiked on it. And I, for the longest time, I had wondered whether the game Diablo was named after, you know, Mount Diablo and whatever. And lo and behold, I was correct. So that's great. Dave, he also talked about other things in developing Diablo. He said that this was his first C program, and that for the most part he had programmed in assembly, and I was surprised. I mean, in the early to mid 90s, I thought that most games were programmed in C, or at least some upper level, I mean, some programming language that was above assembly. I mean, I don't know, Fortran or Pascal or something like that. Of course, then again, I know almost nothing about these programming languages, and for all I know, Pascal and Fortran are actually lower to the metal than I realize, but I digress. I was also amazed at how Diablo was considered a roguelike. For the longest time, I did not know it was a roguelike. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I remember playing Diablo 2 back, and I think it was 1990. I'm trying to remember when it was released. The year 2000, I believe? 2000, 2001. Anyway, I remember playing it. I was playing it online with friends of mine, and I kept thinking, dang it, how do I get through these dungeons? Don't they have a map for this? Well, whatever. Anyway, what I also liked was how he described the lighting and atmosphere in the game. Critics and players alike were amazed at how atmospheric it was, and the lighting was well done, and the sound and all that stuff was also well done. I liked how on the palette of it, they would change the lighting. It was an easy change. All that they did was that they just multiplied the pixels on the screen by shades of gray. So I thought that was pretty neat, you know, based upon where your character is. Of course, David, he also talked about how complicated their drawing mechanisms or whatever for their engine itself. If you want to go and look at that one, by the way, you know, be my guest. Later in the Q&A section of the video, David discusses a little bit of the online implementation of the game. He said how the game only ran on one server, and the audience, as well as I was, in awe of how it ran on only one server. Of course, the thing was that this game didn't run on a dedicated server. Back in those days, online games usually ran on dedicated servers, and that's one of the reasons why they were so expensive, at least for the time. And David, he talked about this man, I can't remember his name, how he was a genius at network design and stuff like that. And so instead of having a dedicated server, the server for Diablo, it would just look at the clients and, you know, figure out who could host it the best, and it just did that. I didn't know that those kinds of servers were around at the time, or I don't know, maybe this was one of the first servers to do that. So that's what I liked about the video. But what I loved the most was that near the end of it, this one guy, you know, he was talking to David, or he had asked a question, I can't remember what it was, and he's just gushing over how he pirated the game. And he played it for days and days on end. He played it over one weekend. But this guy also mentioned how he had such guilt for so many years over pirating the game that he actually paid David, you know, I didn't see how much he paid him, but he paid him for that copy of Diablo. And you know, David took his money, in fact. I thought, wow, that's amazing. It's kind of interesting to find stuff like that. Find that, I don't know, camaraderie or whatever at these game conferences. It's pretty cool to see that. Though now I'm wondering whether with this video, you know, David did a postmortem on the original Diablo. I'm wondering if he did a postmortem on Diablo 2. Of course, Diablo 2 was released about 20 years ago, so I guess he would have done it already. Well, I mean, we couldn't have a GDC this year, probably just one online or whatever. But still, I would love to have heard what he had to say about the development of Diablo 2. You know, what improvements they went into that, what were still some of the shortcomings they had with that, and all that nice stuff. I would love to know more about that. Well, anyway, looks like I've been talking a little too much about this, so maybe I should just stop it right here, or at least for the week. If you would like to get in contact with me, you can look me up on Twitter at FakeJasonA, or you could look me up on Mastodon at Artane@mast.linuxgamecast.com, or you could just even look up my blog, jasonsblog.place. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and please remember, you can't get to the top of the mountain if you don't aim for the stars. See you next week.